Well, in our last Left in the Law segment, we took up the preliminary injunction by district court judge in San Francisco recently against Trump's asylum proclamation. On December 7th, Judge Jay Bybee, a Ninth Circuit court judge, ruled in support of the injunction, stating that the president cannot rewrite a federal statute to deny asylum to immigrants who enter the country without authorization. So, and this was a very conservative judge ruling against the Trump administration, which itself signifies something about how far out there the Trump administration is on this and other fronts. Mike, let's start with the basis of Trump's initial proclamation on asylum seekers and then the basis of the Ninth Circuit recent decision.
Okay, on November 9th, Trump signed a proclamation to address what he called the, quote, continuing and threatened mass migration of aliens with no basis for admission into the United States through our southern border. The order would prohibit anyone from applying for asylum in this country who enters the United States unlawfully. The problem with that order is that there is legislation passed by Congress going back to 1950 and primarily developed during the Jimmy Carter years, the late 70s and 1980, that explicitly says that someone may apply for asylum regardless of how they enter the United States. So within 10 days of Trump's executive order...
Which basically, to paraphrase all of that, Trump's proclamation was basically to shut down the asylum process on the southern border.
Well, it was part of a comprehensive scheme by titrating out very few people who can enter each day through legitimate means. You make it very inviting and almost necessary for people to come across however they can. There is long, long lines of people waiting for weeks, even months.
Called metering, and it's a very, very slow meter.
Exactly. In Tijuana and in the several legitimate places to enter. So Judge John Tiger did halt the new rule, saying it's not likely to stick within 10 days. The government promptly appealed to the Ninth Circuit, and it looked like they had a really good panel, because Judge Jay Bybee was one of the two or three lawyers who wrote the torture memo justifying Bush's use of torture extensively during the Iraq War. I'll tell you an anecdote. I argued a case before the Ninth Circuit in San Francisco at 7th and Mission, very elegant building, neoclassic, built 120 years ago. And Bybee was one of the three judges listening to our appeal.
And it's a death penalty appeal.
Yes. When it was all over, they got up and were about to leave, when suddenly this woman stood up and yelled out in a really large voice, "Torturer! You scum-sucking torturer!"
Directed at Bybee.
"You should be in jail, not on the bench." And bailiffs converged on her and grabbed her and swept her up. And I turned to a bailiff not far from where we were and said, "Wow." And he says, "Yeah, we get that a lot." So this Bybee is a devout believer in the power of the executive branch to do whatever it wants.
Whatever awful things to people he or she so desires. And why the difference here, given that this is someone who supports a pretty hard-nosed right-wing politics?
Because I think Bybee perceived Trump as a threat to his institution. I mean, if this is not struck down, then why do we have courts in the first place? They may as well roll it up and go home, because this was a blatant violation of explicit and clear statutory language passed by the legislature. And as he said, you know, he said, this is not something that the executive should do. It's an issue that has been explicitly addressed by Congress and in legislation, and this squarely violates clear language. So that's what courts do, strike down actions taken in violation of clear language of the law. So this is Bybee retreating from his own predilections to becoming a defender of the institution of which he is a part, the whole judicial system.
So is there more room to maneuver around for the administration around this. There has been more room to maneuver, I know, around restricting asylum, the criteria for asylum claims, which is another way of reducing entry and the portals of entry into the country.
Well, it's a live issue now up and down the border. It's really the front lines of Trump's whole presidency. It's become that. You know, paradoxically, all the publicity about asylum has led to increased numbers of people seeking asylum, people who are in desperate situations, especially those in the what's called the Northern Triangle of countries, El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. People are leaving there because of increases in crime, lack of economic opportunity, the rise of gangs, making it impossible to do any business without paying fines or taxes to gang after gang. Life has deteriorated, and I should say as a result of, in part, of a coup done during the Obama administration, sponsored by Hillary Clinton, who removed a legitimately elected president of Honduras and replaced him with somebody who basically regards it as an extension of the United States, a large air base for the U.S.
During eras when, including the Jimmy Carter era, when refugee status and asylum claims were more based on the country and the situation of the country a person fled, the process was quite different than now. It seems that now the asylum cases are taken presumably one at a time and require a pretty viscerally dramatic story of extreme violence. Now the Justice Department has excluded family violence. So is there another way we might think about asylum, given how the cases require an individual story rather than a collective story? You're suggesting that the whole situation in places like Honduras warrant or would give authority to any asylum claim because people's lives are all affected one way or another.
Well, I think, as the president of Mexico recently said, the way to address the problem of people fleeing is to support those countries, to not repress them, to give them economic aid, to work at the basis of the problem. And it is a problem. As Judge Bybee writes, we've gone from 5,000 applications a year 10 years ago to 97,000 applications this last fiscal year. There's a tremendous number of backlog cases. And it's a dynamic area, and there will always be an edge where there's a dispute, like in cases of retardation or intellectual disability in a capital case. There are obvious cases where people have an IQ of 41 or they have an IQ of 120. But what about people with an IQ of 70? There's a very good reasons to argue for and against them being categorically exempt from the death penalty. So too.
But then the real issue is the death penalty. And you, going further with your analogy, is there a risk of working so much at these categorical borders that you miss the inhumanity of the whole system?
Well, you're talking about the
death penalty, but here the asylum system, if that's the only way into the country, I think it's important to defend the asylum system, but perhaps also argue for a different way of thinking about borders.
Well, that's true. You know, historically, people have been ambiguous. Republicans have been ambiguous because the more people who come into this country, the less wage pressure there will be on all their businesses. So there's the social conservatives and people who, with some good reason, feel that their jobs are threatened by immigrants. And then there's people at the top of the Republican Party who've always basically liked the idea of people coming into this country, legal or illegal. It doesn't matter. It's an addition to the workforce. But now it's become a pivot. You know, Trump has absconded with the Republican Party and made that a central issue, a wall. And that's in itself a repulsive idea. But there are, on the other hand, legitimate concerns of how can we consider all these asylum cases. Misery and suffering is the lot of human beings in many places. How far is your own existential or family crisis going to carry you? Is it going to get you across the border? Should it? When? These are tough problems.
But the answers proposed by the Trump administration, we can agree, are inhumane and repressive. Questions still remain on what should be a progressive border politics.
That's a really good question, and one we don't even have a chance of brushing up against in the 30 seconds left for today.
We will return to the borderlands as they continue to be a front in the political struggles of our time. This is Jan Hawken and Mike Snedeker talking today about a recent Ninth Circuit court rejecting Trump's claim to deny asylum to people at the southern border.